This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Haere mai koutou to Duct Tape and Flip Flops, the show where Josh
and Josh
put a spotlight on some of the Kiwi geniuses who are tackling some of the world's biggest problems with nothing but their skills, smarts, and sometimes even a handy roll of duct tape.
On top of that, we'll be sharing one of our favourite Kiwi waiata to broaden your horizons.
This is Duct Tape
and Flip Flops. So Josh,
Yes.
Have you ever driven an EV before?
Ah, here we go. You guys might get some hints of what this question, what this show is about pretty quickly. Yes, I have. In fact, my father is the proud owner of a Nissan Leaf, which was the car that I pretty much learned how to drive when I was first learning. And let me tell you, the brakes on those bad boys, I have given my mother not the most pleasant of shocks from how quickly they slam on. You barely have to touch them and you're just completely halted. But, wow. You know, the common saying is that they're very torquey vehicles, and that is true. The acceleration on them is just the boom. As someone who's not particularly a car person, they're pretty fun, just very different. Have you ever ridden in one?
Very different. Yeah, no, I would agree that they're very different. For one, very iconic thing about a petrol car is their noise and noise, really. And when once you get into that EV seat and turn on the car and there's no noise,
it's silent. It's so good.
Yeah, it's real nice. And yeah, also, my friends happen to have a Tesla, so I may have been in a couple of times. And Teslas are very sporty performance cars. And the acceleration on those things, man.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the hills too. Like, you expect the car to kind of slow down at the hills. It just keeps going.
Yeah, I haven't really tried taking the Leaf up to the hills before. That's an interesting point. So it just, on those inclines, no probs?
Well, it's got no gears to start off with, so it doesn't have to keep cycling down or up or whatever. But yeah, I think it's just the torque and the fact that it can output a lot of power. Yes, at the cost of sacrifice of battery power, but like the fact that it can output power probably benefits it a lot in the hill space.
Exactly. And then we get to, you've segued nicely into what I was about to talk about. They can output a lot of power, but that does require a lot of power being put into them via the battery. And with electric cars, obviously the image behind them is very much one of you'll save the planet by driving this because you're not using fossil fuels, which is very correct, though we won't go into all the fossil fuels you'll used in car production because that's a whole other topic for a whole nother episode. But there's the issue of where is the power that you're actually putting into the car coming from? Here in New Zealand, a lot of our power naturally comes from environmental and sustainable solutions. We've got plenty of everyone's favorite hydroelectric dams, wind farms, the whole fair. But there's not really a way that we can guarantee, at least most of us can guarantee, that the electricity that we're using and the electricity that we might be putting into our electric vehicles per se is actually clean.
Yeah, you're right on that thing. It's just, I feel like electric cars are almost whitewashed. It's like, no, don't worry about emissions, you'll be immediately zero emissions. I feel like they've become a very environmentally friendly space, when reality is that's not always necessarily the case, because like you're saying, the power generally it's about 80% renewable, 20% comes from fossil fuels or natural gas in that sense. And yes, that means really you're running on 20%, like say your car was 80% electric and 20% diesel or something. It's kind of sort of similar to that. But even more so the production. And the production involves mining lithium and lots of rare earth metals, which, yes, thankfully, Elon Musk has announced that Tesla is trying to avoid now. So there is development in that space. However, in most cases, lots of rare earth metals are mined and not necessarily mined sustainably. So that is a huge contributor to the environment, which we don't see.
Yeah, and would you say that most of those materials are being mined for the batteries in particular?
Oh, yeah, the batteries, yeah, you're right, yeah.
So it's probably quite an important thing to be keeping track of the health of those batteries and what's being put into them, keeping good track of not overcharging them, not letting them just die out. I know that that's quite a concern. People have to sort of not charge their cars too much, otherwise the battery will only last them a few years, which is a pretty big trouble. But there's been one company in particular, and as we normally do, this is how we're going to try and smoothly segue. There's been one New Zealand company in particular that has been making some very, very huge strides in the field of being able to monitor basically everything that has to do with charging an electric vehicle, from the energy that goes into it, where that energy comes from, being able to put your own solar energy into it. There's a huge range of things that I can't wait to talk about. But of course, we must introduce our musician for the day, who is Georgia Lines. Specifically, you'll be hearing her track Monopoly. This was released, well, for us, just a few days ago, as part of the illustrious Te Manawa Puoro o Aotearoa, New Zealand Music Month for 2023. It's a really, really nice song that Georgia says was inspired by a game of Monopoly when she was camping as a kid, and by the highs and lows that the game can bring.
Wow, wow, wow. Who would have thought a song called Monopoly would be
inspired by the game?
That, yeah, I know.
Hey, I thought that maybe it was talking about the socioeconomic term. Who knows? But anyway, here's Monopoly by Georgia Lines.
Let's dive in straight into our company for today, which is titled Evnex. Yeah.
Whoa, Evnex. These guys are Christchurch based, so that's good for us, as we are likewise Christchurch based.
Yes.
And they, as we alluded to before, are big developers in the EV charging sphere. Specifically, their founder, Edward Harvey, he's a Nelson Fellow and studied here at the University of Canterbury and has obviously quite a big passion for, you know, sustainable power and stuff like that, which is what we love to see here on the station. The company was started by him back in 2012, which was only 2 years after the first Nissan Leaf released, which to be that quick onto the uptake of, you know, becoming part of that thriving industry at the time. I mean, back in 2012, people did not have a good perception of EVs. I remember it was just like the cool thing to not like electric cars for quite a while.
Yeah, yeah.
So for them to jump onto it so quickly, I think it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think it does show a lot of hope and dedication to this. Like, ultimately, there are many solutions out there. However, electric vehicles is a really, really good one and one that is constantly improving. So I think that was a very, very wise decision by them to do this.
Indeed, and it seems to be quite a profitable one from the looks of how they're doing at the moment, and we'll talk about how they've been going recently later on in the episode. But specifically, Evnex offer both corporate and standard home use charging technologies. Their one for the home applications is called the E2 charger, and that's the one that has all those nifty little doodads that we were talking about before. So specifically on their website, it touts that it's able to know how clean the grid is before you start charging your vehicle, review your carbon emissions from each charging session, and share your clean charging progress with visual summaries, all through an app that's linked to the charger itself. Yeah. It's apparently the only EV charger in New Zealand that actively or accurately tracks your charging emissions and gives you insights to help charge from cleaner electricity.
Yeah, I think that alludes pretty well to the point we made before about how, yes, electric cars are kind of whitewashed and that the zero emission vehicles and lots of good stuff about them. However, there is still carbon emitted somewhere and this can come from the grid. So I think, in my opinion, monitoring this can be really awesome, like especially at the nighttime when there's not much happening and the grid is ultimately lowered on use. Wouldn't that be a great time to charge your electric vehicle? Because there's obviously going to be less carbon emitted because renewable electricity. I think doing something like this is just such a simple way to reduce carbon emissions as well as still charging your car.
Mm. We'll get into it more later, but it's the whole idea of the less demand that's being put on the grid, the more reusable power can be used and the less coal power or such that needs to be defaulted on to add that extra bit of juice that's needed. They also are fully designed to be integrated into home solar solutions. So through the app, you can choose when to start or pause a solar charging session. You can prioritize solar and only top up from the grid when needed. And you can track your solar charging activity and cost savings, which is, you know, nifty little information for you, but to me, the most important part of that is the ability to prioritize solar and only top up from the grid when needed, which means that you can be both self-sufficient off of your energy, saving yourself a lot of money, and making sure that there isn't really a chance that you pull from those potentially unclean energy sources, even though Evnex would be able to tell you how clean they really were. And you're relying off of energy that you know, for a fact, is sustainable because you generate it off of your own roof.
Mm. And if you want to learn more about solar, sorry for this cringy interlude.
Shameless plug.
But you can check out our Spotify page and we have an interview with the wonderful
John Wilson.
John Wilson. About the wonders of solar. So go and check that out, team.
Yep, as we know, solar is a pretty fantastic source of energy, and even more so if you know exactly where that's coming from in your own home. The final feature that they tout on the product page for the E2 is the ability to safely use other power-hungry appliances at home while optimizing your charging speed and future-proof your garage with local load management. That's very jargony, but basically it's talking about how even if you're using tons of other things in the household, like a washing machine that uses a ton of power, then you're still able to safely charge your car without thinking that you'll be drawing too much power from the grid or from topping up when it's not necessary. It gives you little alerts and a nice little chart readout to show how that's all going to work out over that time period, which is just nice information to know. I always think it's a good thing. It's always a better thing for us to know how our electricity is being used, where it's coming from, than for us to just blindly turn something on and say, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
So that seems to be the whole ethos behind the E2 and Evnex's general everything. They've got different solutions for enterprise situations, which you can check out if you are a business interested in electric vehicle charging. But from the home market, the E2 is their primary offering and one that I'm quite impressed by.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's actually stunning. The fact that, well, as I said before, the fact that it can determine which power is good, which power is bad, and determine when to charge, ultimately when the power is more renewable, should I say.
Mm.
And I think a great thing about the E2 charger, if you remember back to last year when there were a couple of power outages up north, kind of happened in the nighttime, and I don't know who got blamed for it in the end, but ultimately the electric car numbers are going to keep rising. And as they keep rising, the demand has to cope with the electric car uptake rising. Mm. And if we can't somehow control that demand about like when people are using power, then you're going to get more outages and there's not going to be enough power to go around. So yeah, I think this is a really, really good step forward.
Hmm. So that's enough about the E2. We'll stop singing its praises, as neither of us, I believe, have actually used it. Our charger at home for the Leaf is just a very unfancy thing that plugs right into the 15 amp power. It's probably not the most eco-friendly thing. It's just a wall charger. So I'll see what might be done about that.
I mean, it's an EV though, so it should be.
That's the entire point of the episode. So maybe I'll look into that for my family and try and change some things on our end. But back to Evnex, just as a broader company. As we've said, they're based here in Christchurch. Ed founded the company, but trust me, if you look on the About Us section, you will see that it has expanded extremely rapidly. So if you go through the whole team, you've got tons of people in tons of different fields, like when it comes to, technical sales representative Tony Davis, to just shout out a name there, automotive sales representative Tyler Lawton, Aaron Ang, lead software developer, Jason Orchard, head of engineering. There's tons of people all over that are doing great things for this company. And without an interview, we can't, talk to one of them and see how they're doing specifically. But it seems to be a really nice network of people working in tons of interesting fields to make up this company of Evnex. Because if you think about it, the idea of making a product like the E2 and offering services like this, it's pretty complicated. You need to have the the software development behind the application. You need to have the engineering behind the actual device itself. You need to have that relationship with power companies, all that sort of stuff. It's more complicated than I would initially think.
Yeah, it kind of has to be universal to some point because you need engineers. You need those people with the PhDs who are willing to sacrifice maybe some of their zeros and their wages just to help out the company and stuff like that. So yeah, I think that's really awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you did talk a bit about business solutions. So they do offer commercial EV chargers. And yeah, it looks like a really, really solid network that can charge cars at your workplace, employee in home charging. So that's pretty useful. So if you're like, say, providing EVs as a business and you want to give them a charger, like Evnex is the way to go. So you can monitor how much power and stuff they're using.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as well as charging for apartments too. So that looks like they do offer some solid business solutions.
Mm-hmm. And those business solutions are expensive, which is when we come to a recent thing that Evnex has just started, which is their Charging for Charities Fund, in which they set aside four packages of $15,000 in which they give charities around New Zealand a full setup EV charging network, which I think is really cool. They do it four times per year. they have four packages per year, and they give them out to charities that are in need, charities that are going to be, you know, in that more sustainable way of thinking, such as Pathway Trust. They're a charity that target those on the unemployment line, those who are homeless, and try and set them up with accommodation, with employment, with chances to turn their lives around. And it's not in the sort of eco-warrior way, but it's still a charity that's touting sustainability in the sense of looking after each other and sustaining people, not just sustaining the environment, which I think is... Yeah. Likewise, important. So charging for charities is a cool way that EVNEX is able to support other groups to be able to be more environmentally conscious with what they're doing, which is cool. In terms of how the company themselves keeps their own operations in check, I've got to be honest, there's less on their website than I would like in terms of disclosing this sort of information. It's pretty vague. So on their website, there's the impact section, and there's a part that says our operations, and under manufacturing, talking about alleviating their carbon emissions and things, it just says, as we work to calculate and reduce our manufacturing footprint, we've decided to voluntarily contribute to biodiversity and reforestation projects in New Zealand, which is pretty great.
It is pretty great. However, it seems to be the whole point of those carbon credits.
Yeah, I would very much like to hear what these reforestation projects are. I would like just a little bit more information about what is actually being done here, because it's very easy to say on your website, yes, we are helping biodiversity and reforestation activities, without giving any information on what those activities are.
Yeah.
I think it's better to disclose those sort of informations, even if you aren't giving much away to that company. It is better to say specifically what you are doing than to just leave it vague and just go, oh yeah, we're doing stuff.
Yeah.
It would help, in my case at least, me trust a lot more their environmental, you know, overall message if they were just a little more willing to disclose what they're actually doing.
Yeah, it's happening a bit now. Companies are like, oh yes, we're sustainable. Like, even the biggest like oil company could say, oh yeah, we're carbon neutral, because somewhere along the line they've got this farm and they're planting heaps and heaps of trees and getting lots of carbon credits off that. So it's a bit questionable,
but
those morals.
Yeah, are those trees going to stay alive for a long period of time? Are they being planted in places that need them? Are they actually being planted at all? It's a big question whenever a company, at least for me, big red flag, whenever a company just says, we're planting trees and offers nothing else. I think that would be one thing that I would really appreciate from EVNEX, just to make it a little more trustworthy. But the rest of their impact page is pretty good. So there's a section under the smart grid about how the electricity that they use is generated. So it says, the energy mix on our grid between carbon-based electricity sources and renewable sources is constantly varying, depending on the time of day, demand on the network, and availability of peak renewables like wind and solar. Again, that's what we were talking about before, how you can't really control, depending on the time of day, when certain types of energy are going to be most used, when it's going to be available. And as a business, even one that is, you know, sustainably focused, you can't guarantee that all work-related electricity that you're using is going to come from those sources, because you can't really change your opening hours. You can't say, as a business, we're only going to be open from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. because that's when the least amount of electricity is used. That would be terrible for your employees and for your business. So understandably, they can't really avoid that just by nature of when we work as a society. But they're still looking out for it. It says, when charging vehicles, we often have the flexibility to be able to adjust the charging window and power profile to shift your charging session to times when carbon intensive generation is lower. So even though they can't really control a lot of these things, they're still trying to use the EVNEX technology to keep track of, even amongst those busy times, when the most efficient and most sustainable times to utilize that power would be. So good on them for that. That's the sort of stuff I like to see, those sort of slightly more detailed descriptions of things.
Yeah.
So the impact section has a lot of interesting things. There's especially a tab that I quite like to see, which is the Where We Can Improve tab, where they talk about plastic waste. They say, we've chosen an experienced injection molding company to manage the production of our parts, and they are always working to reduce the number of parts that have to be discarded. One way we do this is to minimize tool changes or color changes. Every time we order a new run, plastic must be purged through the machine to remove any previously used plastic. The same is true for color changes. Polycarbonate scrap can be reground and reused, but this is difficult and not done often. Reground plastic has slightly different properties and can suffer from lower performance in the finished part. Some plastics are easier to regrind from polycarbonate, another reason we continue to look for better plastic options. That's what I like. I like the transparency of saying, hey, here's a thing that in the way that we make our product, this sort of waste product is produced. We are looking to pivot to this thing so that less of that is done. It's not saying outright, we are doing this, we're going to fix it, but it's much more honest, I find. It's detailed, it's descriptive, and it's those things that make me believe much more that Evnex is more trustworthy. Again, I would love to see those tree receipts, but I'm a fan of this.
Yeah, I definitely think for a sustainable business with a sustainable idea that is making sustainable products, it needs to be the sustainable on the producing side as well. And yeah, that may involve planting random trees and plastic waste, but yeah, it's really awesome to see that it's sustainable on both sides to some extent.
Hmm.
Can't just be, oh yeah, here's a product. It took us a few coal power plants to produce it.
But hey, it'll make you sustainable. Yeah, there's plenty of things like that out on the market, and that's what you've always got to be wary of when you're in this market of trying to find something that is truly sustainable. And I know my sister, especially, she's quite up in the sustainable sphere of things, and she just barely buys anything new these days, whether it's a device, whether it's a piece of clothing, whether it's anything really, because she just doesn't trust that a lot of these companies, unless they are super well disclosing of their processes, she doesn't really trust that they are doing what they say they will or that they're being made the right way. And so she just buys things secondhand because she knows that by doing that, no new emissions can be made, even if they were made by producing it originally. And I'm not quite at that stage yet, but the more and more I find companies that are claiming to be so good for the environment and then kind of betraying those morals, it turns me off a little bit.
Yeah, it kind of does a bit, you're right. But yeah, it's awesome to see that some work has been doing, and ultimately I think accountability does need to be held to, well, account sometimes.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And that's a discussion just about the whole of this industry. It's not about Evnex in particular. We have no reason to believe that in any way, shape or form, Evnex is deceiving people with their presentation. Everything that we've read about them, everything that we've seen, everything that we've heard has been positive. We, you know, always try to do a background check before we do an episode like this because we do want to try and look into a product. It's exciting on the surface, but we want to make sure what it's like underneath. In the case of Evnex, we genuinely believe that what they're offering is a really, really helpful tool that can save you a lot of money and a lot of guilt in terms of what the energy is that's being used to power your transportation.
Yeah, I think that's really, really key. Like, it's not always where you're going to get a business that sells you something that's like, oh yeah, this is sustainable and this is produced sustainable. At least this one, you've got some benefit somewhere.
Now that we've run our mouths for long enough, we'd love to thank Plains FM for producing this episode of Duct Tape and Flip Flops. And if you'd like to hear more, you can check us out on Spotify and Facebook.
Some days it might feel like everything's going wrong or that the world's falling apart. But just remember that you might have the next spark with an idea that helps make somebody's life that little brighter.
Ka kite anō.